inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Welcome back, yakkers. I hope you had a wonderful week. I know mine went better.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. It's still cold and dark. But
I think it's going to be cold and dark for you for a while.
For the next couple months, at least.
That's insane.
But I'm feeling better, and things are going pretty well here on station, so I'm happier.
That's good. Hopefully everybody else is having a good week.
Yep. And speaking of having a good week, we had a decent week with Twitterers.
Okie dokie.
Yep. So I'm just going to read them off for you. We had Skeptical Aussie, Julia, Randolph Richardson, Am I Mobbling? Yeah. And Jamie. So not bad.
Cool. No, not bad.
No, not bad at all. And if they wanted to follow us, where would they follow us on Twitter?
Okay, I got it. At Secular Yakking.
Yay, it only took 4 years.
It's pretty sad.
Anyways, I have some news for us, as usual.
One would hope.
Yep. Breaking with long tradition of clerical privilege, California is edging towards requiring priests and other church employees to inform authorities if they learn of a case of child sex abuse during the sacrament of confession.
I think that that is great, and I also think that it's ridiculous it took this long to finally do that.
Yeah, I agree. Well, on May 31st, the California State Senate passed a bill that would require priests to report child abuse if they learned about it while hearing the confession of a fellow priest or colleague. The bill, which passed overwhelmingly with a 30-4 vote, with the four not voting at all, was amended from its original version, which had required the priest to report abuse they learn about confession they hear, not just those of their fellow clerics or co-workers. So wait.
I was going to say, wait.
They changed the bill
okay.
to not include other people.
Well, that's where I was just getting ready to ask. Is it just for their own colleagues? Or
yeah,
does it still include when people confess this in confessional?
No, it only includes fellow priests or people who work in the church.
That's asinine.
So if, yeah, I agree that the bill obviously does not go far enough.
Not even close.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane. Because now a child molester can just go confess and everything's all hunky-dory again.
Oh, I have another question. So let me ask you this.
Okay.
There's not a law that requires them to alert authorities if someone confesses this, but can they?
Oh, they can. Well, legally they can, but spiritually and religiously they can't.
Wait a minute. So will they? I mean, I'm confused.
Oh, no, they won't. And here's
why.
That's
insane.
So the California Catholic Conference decried the bill in a statement describing it as an attack on the sanctity of the confessional, noting that under church law, any priest who violates the seal of confession is automatically excommunicated.
That is horseshit.
Yeah. So they get this special religious privilege that allows them to hear about a crime, any crime, doesn't matter what it is, and they don't have to report it.
That, to me, sounds illegal. How can that be legal? I mean, you basically could have a guy come in there and say, yeah, I know it's wrong, but I can't help myself, Father. I keep messing with my kid, and it's just escalating, blah, 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 and yet nothing happens. Nothing gets done about it.
Exactly.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, that is the power of the confessional. It always has been that way. And the power of the Catholic Church in this matter is making it even more difficult.
I don't understand being above the law. I mean, I don't understand how religion gets you out of committing crimes. And not just for the church. I mean, just federally, you know, nationally. How can they be allowed to commit a crime? Because in that sense, they're basically, one of those people who are riding in the car when it gets pulled over with drugs in it. You're going to jail too. So how is it that they can do this?
Yeah, they've become an accessory to the fact, is what it's called.
Yes, that's the word I was That's what I was looking for.
Right. They know what's going on, yet they do nothing about it.
Yeah.
And that, in my mind, is almost as bad as doing it.
Absolutely. Because they know when this person goes home that this is happening to these kids or whomever. They're beating their wife, whatever. I mean, I just don't understand that at all.
Yeah. Well, there's a group out there called SNAP, and the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, and they had this to say about it. SNAP supports any effort that will help keep children safe, and SB 360 is one step in that direction. We welcome any effort that would result in increased transparency and involvement of law enforcement. In California, clergy members are mandated reporters and believe that they can and should report suspicions of abuse to police, regardless of where or why those suspicions arose. So, basically, you're saying no matter where you hear it, it should be reported.
Right. Should
in any
be.
Case.
I was going to say, they say should be, but in reality, they're not.
No, because their religion gets a special privilege in this case. Everybody else is a required reporter.
Well, and that was one of my questions. If you went to counsel and this came up in a meeting with your counselor, and, you know, you went to go talk with them and this happened to come up in conversation, aren't they legally required to report abuse that comes up in those cases?
Yes. Or,
okay, I didn't know if,
doctors,
you know.
Doctors, psychiatrists.
Yeah, yeah, psychiatrists, yeah. Exactly. That's what I was wondering.
Camp counselors.
Okay.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know if the psychiatrists have to report that or not.
Yeah, there's no patient privilege when it comes to stuff like that. At
then
least not that
why...
I know. Someone could correct me on that, but
okay, yeah. But what I don't understand, why does religion get a pass? Because when you go into a confessional, they're basically being counselors. They're being psychiatrists, if you want. And I don't understand how they get a pass.
Well, yeah, they're kind of being psychiatrists, but they're selling a fake cure.
Well,
so
no,
really,
I understand
asking
that.
For forgiveness. For something you've done and suffering no punishment whatsoever for it. That's
oh, yeah, I've always said that.
There's no real punishment.
It's
a get out of jail free card.
Exactly. Say your Hail Marys and you're good to go.
Yeah. But Catholics, those people who oppose this law are saying that it violates the separation of church and state, saying the government's getting into religious business. No.
Okay.
No, that's not what it is.
That doesn't make any sense that they say that it violates separation of church and state. Church religion is not above the law of being able to go out and murder someone. You still go to jail even if you did it in the name of God. You will still go to jail.
Even your every religion has to follow the same laws, right?
Right.
But the freedom of religion just means that the government won't come in and tell you how to be religious. That's what it means.
Right. That's exactly. That's what I was going to say. There's a difference. You still have to follow the law. They're just not going to come in and tell you how to run your own belief system. But you do have to follow the laws of the land.
Yeah. The only thing that's stipulated is that you have to follow the laws. That's it. And in some cases, you can get out of the law given if your religion isn't impacting someone else. That's the only difference. So like the RFRA laws, so long as your religious belief isn't hurting someone else or breaking serious laws, then you can get out of it. Like the reason RFRA exists is because the Native Americans wanted to do peyote. And
okay.
was illegal. But if you use peyote as a religious ceremony, it's legal.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I understand where you're going.
That's why that exists. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It didn't hurt anybody. And it wasn't technically breaking a you know, felony type law. This is breaking a felony type law.
Well, and I agree with you. If it impacts someone else's life, endangers it, basically, then your religion is not above the law. But yet in this case, what they're saying by not reporting some abuse that's confessed in a confessional, that's kind of putting them above the law, in my opinion.
It is. Yeah. And I'm really glad that a government body is finally stepping in saying, look, you priests and clergy members need to report this because it's dangerous and it's hurting our children.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad they're being required to report on each other, but you can't ignore having, you know, the common person, basically the bulk of who comes into confessionals, and ignore when they confess something like that.
Right.
But
yeah, a confession is supposed to be confessing a sin against God, not confessing a crime, a civil right. crime.
And, you know, it is absolutely should be kept private between you and the confessional. But when it comes to admitting to a crime, that crosses the line.
Yes, it does.
I don't think they should be allowed to, you know, get out of that whatsoever.
I agree. All right, I have some science for us.
Oh, yay, I like science.
NASA's Juno spacecraft has once again proved it's worth announcing another exciting discovery. The hardworking Juno team has made the first definitive detection of internal magnetic field that changes over time in another planet. This cool. phenomenon is known as secular variation and will help scientists understand more about the makeup of Jupiter's interior. Juno has determined the secular variation is most likely driven by the planet's deep atmospheric winds. Details of the discovery have been published in the journal Nature Astronomy, called Secular Variation has been on the wish list of planetary scientists for decades, said Scott Bolton, Juno principal investigator from the Southwest Research Institute in San Antonio.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So when I was reading this, I was like, okay, they keep saying this word secular in there. And to us, it means something completely different than it means to them. So I looked it up.
Okay, because that was going through my mind.
Yeah, I'm sure it was going through everybody's mind. The definition of secular variation is a long-term non-periodic variation. The term secular variation is used whenever time series are applicable in economics, operations, research, biological anthropology, astronomy, particular in celestial mechanics and planets. So basically, okay. it means it's a long, random time period variation.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say translate that for some of us who aren't that bright.
That's my non-scientific understanding of it. I hope some scientists can chime in and tell us what it really means in terms that we can understand.
Well, that's really cool. I wish we would hear more discoveries that we come up with because, you know, I really think not exploring and ignoring that really sets us backwards, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, now that they've proved secular variation did occur, the team was curious to determine exactly why. It seems that Jupiter's famous atmospheric or zonal winds provide the best explanation for this change in magnetic field. The powerful winds extend from the planet's surface to over 3,000 kilometers deep, and though the shear, the magnetic fields stretching them and carrying them around the planet. Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. So basically, the winds are strong enough there to literally move the magnetic field. That's what they're saying.
Wow.
That's pretty strong. I thought we had strong winds down here.
Yeah.
Yeah, even our magnetic field moves, but that's just because due to things like continental shift and ice and stuff, but not because of wind. That's some serious wind.
Well, I was going to say, what kind of wind speed do you have to have for it to do that?
I don't know. I'm thinking the hundreds and hundreds of miles per hour.
Like several?
I know the winds get really strong. Yeah, several hundred miles an hour to move.
Yeah.
Magnetic fields. I mean, seriously, that's something else.
Wow.
Yeah, Jupiter has one spot where this is most noticeable, and that's known as the Great Blue Spot. And that's different from the Great Red Spot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know the Great Red Spot.
Yeah. This spot has intense magnetic field located near the planet's equator. This intense field is strong. Localized winds make the Great Blue Spot an area where the largest secular variations were documented. It is incredible one narrow magnetic hotspot, the Great Blue Spot, could be responsible for almost all of Jupiter's secular variation, but numbers bear it out, said Moore. With this new understanding of magnetic fields, during the future science passes, we will be able to create a planet-wide map of Jupiter's secular variation. It may also have applications for scientists studying Earth's magnetic field, which still contain many mysteries to be solved.
That's pretty big.
So that's some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty big. And I think I have heard of the Great Blue Spot, actually. Not that long ago, as a matter of fact.
It may have been in relation to this story, because this story isn't exactly super recent, you know, a few weeks old. But it came up in my search, and I was like, oh, okay, what is this about? So, kind of cool.
But that's pretty cool that they might be able to create a planet-wide map of Jupiter's secular variation. That's pretty big.
Yeah, so they can tell how much the magnetic field moves in Jupiter and use that information to understand our own magnetic field.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it is. Really cool.
Yeah.
All right, I got another news story for you.
Okie dokie.
Okay, a group is suing a Texas judge for opening prayer for the second time. The FFRF is suing Montgomery County Judge Wayne Mack, who was justice of the peace for the precinct about 50 miles north of Houston, for opening a ceremony that includes pledges and a prayer. The Wisconsin-based group said the practice violates the Establishment Clause of the Constitution. That seems pretty obvious to me.
They never seem to get it.
No.
Or they
ignore it. Annie Laurie Gaylor said, Judge Mack's actions remain unconstitutional. We are relitigating to safeguard the U.S. Constitution and to keep our country's courtrooms equally accessible to all people, regardless of their personal religious or non-religious beliefs.
Good.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, why do they keep ignoring the fact that they can't do this, but they keep doing it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And if it wasn't for people like the FFRF, it would go unnoticed, and it would continue, and it would grow, and more, and it would get worse.
Which is why we support the FFRF.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, when Mack began serving in 2014, he started a volunteer chaplaincy program for religious leaders of all faith, including 60 chaplains across every mosque, temple, and synagogue represented. But FFRF argues the program coerces judges and people involved in the case to participate in state-sponsored prayer.
Yep.
It is the tradition of courts to have a brief opening ceremony that includes a brief invocation by one of our volunteer chaplains and pledges that United States, Texas state flag. Mack's courtroom rules read, you are not required to be present or participate.
Wait a minute. So this is what his courtroom rules are?
Yeah.
You have to be one of our volunteer chaplains and pledge to the state flag and the United States flag.
Yeah.
So he's saying basically you are not required to be present or participate, meaning if you don't like it, get out.
Yeah, basically. But it gets worse than that.
Okay.
In the lawsuit, a non-religious lawyer using a pseudonym, John Rowe, in the suit, argues he feels pressured to bow his head during the prayer and stay in the room for fear that refusing to do so or leaving might impact the outcome of his client's case.
Well, yeah, because it's that same thing that, you know, if the kid doesn't want to say the pledge, he can leave the room kind of thing. You get ostracized.
Right. And this is a judge.
Which, yeah,
and
exactly.
That can seriously, he's making decisions based upon his interpretation of what you did, right?
Exactly.
So if he's going to sentence, if he's doing the sentencing on someone, he can take the fact that they didn't participate in his prayer to mean that they're not such great people and give them a harsher judgment.
And that's exactly what they're going to do, whether they mean to or not. The second you start with a negative comment towards someone, they automatically shut down. Even if they don't mean to, they start taking it to a negative. So if they do that, whether the judge means to do the harsher sentence or not, they've already got this veil that's already judged you before it's even started because of that.
Right. And just the idea that that might happen should be enough to make this unconstitutional.
Absolutely. I mean, Constitution is representative of all. So anything that is the opposite of all is unconstitutional.
Exactly. Well, we covered the same judge in episode 94 when the FFRF sued him for this last time.
Oh, do you remember how that went?
The district U.S. District Court dismissed the original suit, saying that it was not appropriate, that they didn't have grounds to sue the county because Mack was employed by the state.
So wait.
So they didn't really make a ruling on it. They said you sued the wrong people.
So nothing really got done about it, basically.
Nothing got done because they sued the wrong people. And this time they're suing the right people.
Well, it's sad that we have to go around again on this, and because he's doing it again.
Well, he never stopped.
Well,
because the courts never
told
him not to. Of course, I think a guy like this is going to be just like Judge Roy Moore and keep doing it no matter what.
I was just going to say, he's kind of on that Potter border there with, you know, I'm going to do it anyways, whether you like it or not.
Right. And he will. So he may end up being a Potter Award winner at some point in time.
I was going to say, he's definitely on his way.
Yep.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
I absolutely love that. I don't know why, but I do.
Yeah, me too. That's why we use it. Well, we do have, and that means we have a Potter Award winner this week. And it is
course.
A doozy.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. In 2018, Florida State Representative Mike Hill proposed HB 97, a bill that would make it illegal to remove monuments from public property, including those honoring the Confederacy. Huh. A Republican said that, he's a Republican and said that his proposed Soldiers and Heroes Monuments and Memorials Protection Act aimed to honor all who fought in U.S. wars.
So he's also okay with any the monuments that promoted slavery as well.
Right. He said accusations that he backed putting up monuments to slave owners were nonsense, and that the idea that it was necessary to tear these down because they are offensive is nothing more than faked, feign outrage. And if you tear down a monument, that does not all of a sudden make you have a better job or education. Instead, all it does is divide and destroy.
I don't understand. I mean, I understand to keep history and whatnot, but you don't need to honor the horrible things that went on. Right. You need to record, absolutely. It should never be wiped away. But you don't need to put it up on a pedestal and reward that kind of a behavior.
I agree. And a statue is a reward for being
right.
The right person in that society. Statues of people all over the world who are horrible people, but generally that's because they made the people put them up. When the people put them up, they should be of good moral standing people, and the Confederacy were not of good moral standing people.
No, and like I said, it belongs in the history books, but it does not belong up on a pedestal and being idled. I mean,
right.
No.
Yeah. Well, to make things even more interesting, Hill is an Air Force veteran who, as reported by Miami New Times, is the first African-American representative elected from Florida Panhandle since the Civil War.
Wow.
So let's think about this for a moment. He's an African-American, and he's promoting monuments to slavery.
I'm confused.
And he was surprised when the African-American community were not pleased with his bill.
How can he be surprised, truly? I mean, I don't get that.
I'm really confused by this guy. Not very, very few African-Americans are proud of the slavery heritage of the Confederacy.
Right. Very, very few.
Luckily, the bill died in committee just in May, so it never even made it to the Senate floor.
Good.
Yeah. But that's not all, and it's not even close.
Okay.
That's not even the worst thing he's done. In an audio released by Pensacola State Journal on Friday, Hill can be heard casually discussing the possibility of introducing legislation to kill gay people.
Holy moly, are you kidding?
Yep. The recording taken during a May 24th forum held by the Pensacola-based Women for Responsible Legislation features a man who journal identified as Hill responding to a constituent who noted that in 1 Corinthians it says that a man who has an affair with another man will be put to death.
Oh, that's where he's going.
Right, so we know it's biblical. And he says, it says that in the Old Testament, too, Hill answered before another person chimed in, asking if he could introduce legislation. Hill, a self-described pro-life, pro-guns, pro-Jesus representative, could be heard chuckling along with several members of the audience before replying, "I wonder how that would go over."
Oh, my goodness.
Now, it's said in a joke, but the problem is, in this context, it's not very funny.
Well, not at all. And usually when people do stuff like that, that's really what they want to say, but they try to kind of smooth it over.
Exactly. And seeing the rest of this guy's portfolio, basically, he is a super Jesus freak and is trying to bring theocracy into America, as you'll see soon.
What happened to separation of church and state?
He doesn't believe it exists.
Apparently so.
But even that didn't make him a Potter Award winner. Because he has done much, much worse.
Oh, so he just keeps going.
Yeah. Hill made statements while visiting a women's responsible, same place, and speaking about a bill which is similar to a law that passed in Alabama, an abortion bill.
Right.
So you ready for this?
Okay.
He says, "As plain as day, God spoke to me. He said that wasn't my bill, talking about the heartbeat detection bill that I filed. He said that wasn't my bill." He's saying God is saying that's not the bill I wanted you to file.
Right.
I knew immediately what he was talking about, right? Hill's proposed law, which died before getting a committee hearing, would have restricted abortions after fetal heartbeat is detected and included exceptions for rape, incest, medical emergency, human trafficking, and domestic violence. Hill said he only placed those exceptions to the bill to increase the chances of it passing.
Do you know, That actually does not surprise me when they do put stuff like that in. It's just so that they can get it passed to, appease the people to vote.
Well, here he goes on to say, God said, you remove those exceptions and you file it again. And I said, yes, Lord, I will.
Are you kidding me? Okay, by definition, wouldn't normal people say he's insane?
Yep.
I mean,
so he's refiling the bill.
He's hearing
without
voices.
Those exceptions. Yeah, there's a problem.
Meaning abortion at heartbeat, no exceptions, period.
No exceptions at all.
Yeah, not even death of the mother.
Right, which is insane because I don't think he's being very biblical. If you want to get honest about it, he's not being biblical. There is in the Bible a method of abortion.
Oh, is there?
There is. It's in the Old Testament.
That.
I forgot exactly where it is.
Uh-huh.
And a man could bring his wife to the priest and say, I believe she has cheated on me and she's with child with this other person.
Actually, and that sounds very familiar.
Right. And the priest would mix up a bitter, which is basically a potion. And have her
elixir.
Drink it, and if the baby, the fetus survived, then she was faithful. If she wasn't faithful, it would be aborted.
Well, that's a really weird idea, but okay. But yeah, they
and
condone
in 90% of the times. So I'm understanding that this bitter was successful in finding out cheating women a lot of the time. Imagine that. So it was concoction to have abortion.
Yeah, that's condones it. I mean that it says
right there.
That they condoned it.
Right. So he's got to at least put that exception in his bill because that's biblical.
But
so if
I
cheated,
think,
you can abort it.
I think the whole abortion thing, really came up with, men saying no abortions in the 20th century, and I think before that it wasn't an issue. It was like you said here, how. It just was, she was faithful, not faithful, or it just wasn't a topic. It was just something the doctor and the patient had a conversation about. It wasn't like everybody's discussing it and getting into the business of it.
Yeah.
I think it wasn't until the 20th century that, they started, everybody getting in, women's business about whether this should be allowed. And then it's kind of been stuck here ever since.
Right.
Whether for it or against it. It was never a public thing, I think, is what I'm getting at. It was always just a personal, private, woman's thing with a doctor, and it was no one's business. It was never discussed.
Well, what's interesting is after Roe versus Wade was passed, it was like that for quite some time. There was some people who disagreed with it and didn't like it and tried to get it re-litigated and all this other stuff, but it wasn't a huge deal until,
recently.
Until the turn of the century, really. So in the 80s and 90s, it was there, but it wasn't the issue. Now it is
the
biggest issue.
Well, with everything going on right now, Yeah, it kind of had a lull part, and then now it's picked up again. But like I said, before all of this, it was just, and there's a really long span of time before the 20th century that, existed, and it was never a conversation. It was never a public opinion conversation, nor should it be, by the way.
I agree.
Yeah. It
should only be between you and your doctor.
Right. The fact that it's public is absolutely absurd. It is no one's business what you do with your own body. As I can tell you right now, a man sure wouldn't want someone telling him what he could and couldn't do with himself, let alone a woman being told what she can and can't do with her own body. And technically, man, woman, or alien, it's nobody else's business but your own. End of subject.
I agree. And why this guy is such an exemplary Potter Award winner.
Yeah. I guess I have an opinion on that topic.
We do have an opinion on that topic, and that's why we have a show.
Well, I could do like a whole show just on that. That's kind of how awful I am about it.
Yeah, I know. And that's fine.
But
like
that's,
I said, that's why we
not
have a
his
show,
only
so
reason.
Get those opinions
that's
out.
Not his only reason for this Potter. So there's several things
and
this guy's
I'm sure he'll
for.
Do much worse. Yeah, I'm sure he'll do much worse because this is his first term.
Oh, he's got lots of time to screw some more up.
Yep, unless, with his latest remarks, he's being even other Republicans are saying, you know, maybe it's time for you to resign because you're loony.
Oh, are they really starting to turn on him, huh?
Yeah, there's, especially with the gay remarks, there's been calls for his resignation.
Yeah. Well, that's a crazy extreme. If they're gay, kill them and make that a law in place. It's not just an opinion that he wants that to be a law that they should be killed. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
I
like
agree.
Saying if someone wears polka dotted dress or something, they should be killed. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Well, I guess if you go with real biblical laws, if they wore, you know, pants
yes.
and shirts made of two different fabrics, then yeah.
That is correct. Cool. Yep, because it's amazing how everyone tends to forget that you're not allowed to mix fabrics.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny when you get evangelicals that ride that horse and yet you look at what they're wearing. It's like, you forgot
yeah.
something.
You know that shirt you're wearing is a cotton lycra mix.
Right?
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's all the yakking I got for you this week.
Yeah, I think I've kind of yacked myself a little too much today.
Okay. All right. We'll see everybody next week.
Next week.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye!
Shoo-bop.
Shoo-bop, shoo-wada-wada.
Yippity-boom-da-boom. Chang chang changity chang shabop dip di dip di dip di wop a doobie doo boogie woody 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 shoobity wop shawop shana na 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 yippity dip di doo. What? I remember it. We did it in high school.
Well, that's going in the show.